Hello, and welcome to the Sound of Football podcast. I'm Graham Sibley, and as ever, I'm joined by Jan Bilton.
Hello.
And Terry DeFellin.
Hello.
If we sound a bit different this week, it's because we've got a new setup. Yeah, we're down with the kids now. We're on Discord. Ooh, yeah. Yeah. Check us out. Yeah. Getting all Gen Z about the whole thing. Yeah. I think we're officially boomers now, aren't we, Terry?
We have transitioned into boomers, yeah. Because we're using terms like Gen Z.
That's how they say it, isn't it, the kids? They say Gen Z. Down right. By the skateboard park. They're all talking about Gen Z, aren't they?
Yeah.
Anyway, we better crack on, guys, because we don't want to be late for our prees.
So, yeah, hopefully we sound okay. Yeah, because we were on Skype before. That's how old school we were. We've always done this on Skype because we've been going for years. Back when all this was Fields, we had old tech, and because Microsoft have thought, why is anybody still using Skype? Even Microsoft gave up using Skype. And it was only us and I don't know who else, but we're using Skype. So they finally pulled the plug on us. So look, those three guys over there, they're the only ones still using this platform. Sod off somewhere else. So here we are, down with the Gamer Boys on Discord now. And it's working pretty well, I think, so far. If this episode suddenly finishes somewhere, then you'll know what happens anyway. But yeah, let's talk about football. Not platforms, let's talk about football instead. It's been a couple of weeks since we were with you last because Terry and I went away with some mates for the weekend and we went to Stockholm. And a fine time we had over there. The weather was beautiful and the football was great too, wasn't it?
Yeah, we went to two games. We went to see FC Stockholm in the league, which is the tier of Swedish football. But that was an exciting game, an exciting draw, interesting ground, interesting in that there was no beer sold there as well. The following day, we went to see AIK, didn't we, in the Strawberry Arena, as it's called.
AIK or AIK, as the locals call it. But I'll stick with AIK, just so we know that. And they beat Elfsborg. They went 2-0 up very, very early and basically controlled the game, didn't they? And it was a great atmosphere, and you could buy beer in that ground. I don't know what FC Stockholm Internationale were doing, not selling beer. It was quite disappointing for a bunch of middle-aged English guys going to football and not being allowed any beer. But we did get free hot dogs, though, didn't we?
Oh, we did get free hot dogs. Yeah, maybe they gave us the free hot dogs because they were afraid we were going to kick off because there wasn't any beer. I said, sooner or later, the English are going to figure out there's no beer and then they're going to kick off. But, of course, forgetting the fact that we couldn't kick off because we had no beer with which to kick off there. Our money wasn't good enough. And so one of our colleagues gave his best Hugh Grant impression, which impressed them. And so they gave him two for nothing.
Yeah.
So, which is great. So we got a free hot dog. Yeah, made the trip all worthwhile. Made the long weekend in Sweden suddenly value for money.
So, but we did manage to keep up with all that was going on with the football. Just about. We saw Liverpool become champions. Entertaining enough, I guess. But more importantly, I suppose, we did manage to watch Crystal Palace win their FA Cup semi-final without Terry being there. And, of course, now we know where Terry will be on Cup Final Day, don't we?
You bet you. You can't tear me away from it, Graham. I will definitely be there. And when I say there, I mean on a ferry. Dr. Aberdeen waiting to leave to go to Orkney Islands because I'm going on holiday.
Yeah.
So I will be there. I will be there, Graham. I will be there with my small tablet or maybe a TV screen in the bar watching the football and watch it on there.
Yeah, watch out on those Wi-Fi costs. Yeah. And I mean, he actually predicted this on the podcast, didn't he? He said that Palace were destined to get to the final because he was going on holiday at the time when the match was going to be, didn't he?
It's always going to be the case, Terry, when you had something like that planned, that they were going to find themselves deservedly at the final where you're potentially not going to be able to watch it. Hopefully there'll be some kind of, I'm sure those ferries from Aberdeen to Shetland, did you say?
Orkney.
Orkney, I beg your pardon. I'm sure that they're well stocked, those bars, with a Sky connection or a BBC connection, and you'll be able to watch it. So I wouldn't worry about it. You're going to have a lovely time.
Believe it or not, there is actually free Wi-Fi on the ferry. Woo! So I will, at the very least, I'll be able to watch it on the old iPlayer or the or ITVX. I'm sure I will be able to get to watch it. What I will be watching, of course, is another matter. A part of a particularly expressive WhatsApp group, I think I've mentioned it before, with three other guys, the two of whom were Liverpool fans and one of them was a Man United fan. So I don't really get much of a look in, really, frankly, with it. Dave, one of them, because that's his name, Dave, one of them, he like put down a list of like why it was a really difficult season this season. So he listed all the winners of the major honours this season, you know, so far.
Mm.
And he just included Man City. He said Man City FA Cup winners. They haven't played the game. Anyway, I thought, oh, so I just quietly see. I thought, I'll just wait and see what happens here. So there's two reasons why narrative might sweep Palace to victory. One, me not being there on a ferry, deliberately booking my ferry for the cup final. And two, Dave on the WhatsApp group just making assumptions.
Yeah.
These Man United fans have got no place making assumptions like that, frankly. No place.
Dave doesn't sound like a very nice man sending that to you. I mean,
he shared it on the group. He's a beautiful man. He's just, you know, he gets carried away, that's all.
People say As stuff on groups. All. Yeah, people say stuff on groups, don't they?
Yeah, they do. On groups. They say stuff on podcasts. You know, it's fine. I mean, I can't really criticize. I genuinely can't criticize him. Well, I could, but I'd be an absolute massive hypocrite.
Well done, Liverpool, on winning the league. Shame it couldn't have been more of a contest. And shame a lot more people aren't talking about it and bigging you up, because I'm sure that's what you really want. You want lots of people talking about how great you are. Well done. You won the league. Congratulate them, guys.
Interesting one. Congratulations, yes. Arne Slot and the rest of Jurgen Klopp's team. Sorry.
Ting. That's nice.
I was thinking about this earlier, actually, because he's managed to get over the first hurdle in that he's gone there and successfully, he's had the baton handed to him by Klopp, and he's gone on and he's done very well. And that's great. If he doesn't win next year, they have a lot of opinions, don't they? They will be saying, you only did it with Jurgen Klopp's team. You couldn't do it with your own team. I don't think the pressure's off, honestly. I think the pressure's very much on, just as much as it was at the beginning of the season. So I wonder how good people of Liverpool fans in general are going to treat him this time next season if he doesn't deliver.
Mm.
Well, I suppose the counter-argument, of course, is that he was able to do something with Jurgen Klopp's team that Jurgen Klopp was only able to do once and after many years of trying. He just turned up and said, yeah, this team's quite good. I think I'll just win the league. Whereas Jurgen, he struggled.
Yeah, he did. What else happened while we were away? Well, we knew that Sunderland were in the playoffs, Jan, didn't we? We now know the full playoff picture. Sunderland will be playing Coventry in the semi-final. It's looking like you could end up playing Sheffield United in the final at Wembley. That's going to be two sides with really, really poor records in playoff finals. So you can't both lose, can you?
I think if Sunderland can find a way, we will. But of course, we've got to get past Coventry first, which we're not going to do. You heard it here first, listeners. Because looking back on the, there's always a tab on whichever football website you're on saying previous encounters. And those previous encounters on the particular site I was on went back quite a long way. And Sunderland hadn't won any of them. They were all draws or wins for Coventry. And this season, we lost 3-0 to Coventry in March, and we were 2-0 up against them in November after 30 minutes and managed to draw 2-2. And we've lost 5 games in a row, haven't won a game in 6. So we're going into that particular set of fixtures. Well, the odds, I think, stacked against us. It's fair to say, and speaking to my friends who actually get to go to the games because they live closer than I do, that Regis Labrisse has been rotating the squad heavily. It's been obvious for a long time that we were going to qualify for the playoffs, even before it was mathematically certain. We were so far ahead of fifth and sixth place and so on. It was obvious that we weren't going to catch the trio of Leeds, Burnley and Sheffield United. But we weren't going to be caught either by the chasing pack. So rather than wear those players out, risk injury and maybe to give them mentally a rest as well, he's been rotating. But consequently, for the people who actually pay their money and turn up to watch Sunderland and travel to watch them away, Sunderland just been getting beaten week in, week out. So I suppose there's an argument for preparation and being pragmatic and going, well, look, we're going to achieve this anyway, so let's keep ourselves for those potentially three games. But there's also a question of momentum and not having any when you go into it. I would imagine that Regis de Brice would have looked at his tactic of rotating the team heavily, but not expecting to have had such a dire effect on results, which it has. But to be fair, I mean, Sunderland go into the competition amongst those four sides with the worst run of form. But Sheffield United's run of form hasn't been great going into it either. No. I mean, obviously, they missed out ultimately by quite a distance on second place. Coventry, I mean, they got their win against Borough at the weekend, but they lost to... Didn't they lose to Luton and Plymouth? Yes, Luton and Plymouth in the games before the Borough game. Bristol City haven't won in three. So it's almost like everyone just doesn't want to get promoted, which is a very sensible position to take, if you ask me. So there's probably four teams doing their best not to get to Wembley and then doing their best not to win it, Grim, which brings us nicely back to your point about how can they both lose it? Because, you know, as I've said many a time, and I just to round it off for those that haven't heard me not want to get promoted, I just don't want to see my side come down like Leicester or Southampton or indeed Ipswich.
Yeah, Terry, I think you're going to have to send him a link for a North Sea ferry to Orkney for playoff weekend. I think that's the only way that we can get through this, can't we?
Well, I mean, maybe what we could do is send you one for this week then, in that case, for your second leg game. Maybe that's just the answer to everybody. Just like get on a ferry to the Orkney Islands, preferably, because that's the only one that we've tested. Listeners, if you want to get on a ferry to another destination and test the theory, see if it works, then come back to us, because this is the kind of feedback from listeners that we need. It's going to be Bristol City versus Frank Lampard's Coventry City, to use their proper title, in the final. And I think any sensible person understands this.
Yeah, of course, that's the genuine narrative final, isn't it? Because you've not only got the Frank Lampard becoming a manager again, people actually taking him seriously again, but you've also got the Liam Manning story, which is actually a real comeback for him because of the tragedy that he had earlier on in the season, losing his baby son. So, yeah, I think most of the neutrals want to see Bristol City do well, and for them to go up this season would be a minor miracle. That's obviously not going to happen. I don't think they're strong enough. And as Jan's pointed out, the only team with any sort of form going into this, I think, is Coventry. And even their form is ropey at times. They have stumbled into the playoffs. No one's really on an upward curve. I thought Millwall were going to sneak in there because they were stringing a load of wins together and then they fell at the last. It was a fun final day in the Championship. But I think we've got some good semi-finals there. And frankly, I couldn't pick them, really. I think that's what it's like every year with the playoffs. You can always come up with a reason why someone's going to fall and fail. And invariably, it all just comes down to penalties anyway, doesn't it?
Well, yeah, it usually does. I mean, going back to my first playoff final in, I don't know what year was it, 1998 when Sunderland played Charlton? And that went to penalties as well, and that was awful. And it was in the old Wembley, which was awful. So, yeah, boo playoffs.
Well, we are going to Wembley anyway next week, aren't we? All these trips to Wembley, Terry, it's all coming our way. We're all coming together, aren't we, on Sunday? Because Sunday, of course, is the FA Vars final. And we've bored you to tears for this already, haven't we, listeners? But the fact that our little non-league team, the team just down the end of my road, AFC Whiteleaf, is going to Wembley. Us three and about 3,500 other AFC Whiteleaf fans, yeah, that's what we could muster up. And that's pretty good going, considering that's twice the record attendance we've ever had, are going to Wembley to cheer on the mighty Leaf. Terry, has it sunk in yet that this is actually happening?
No, I don't think it will sink in. I can't quite believe that I'm going to see Whiteleaf at Wembley and I'm not going to see Palace. Sorry. it's fantastic. And we've got a shiny new kit as well, yeah. Which worries that there's a hubris value there. Because yeah. I am supremely confident going into this because, I mean, all I ever do is watch Whiteleaf win. So I can't conceive of them losing. Because their home record has been so amazing and I've only ever seen them win. So needless to say, I'm just thinking, no analysis from me. I'm just like, yeah, they're going to win. But now they've done this new deal with Adidas. I'm thinking, hubris? Hubris? But no, it's like the old days of the FA Cup final, back when the FA Cup final was a massive deal and there'd be this massive sponsorship pool. And that players would just like get really, really stuck in because they would get a chance to actually make some proper money. And it's a little bit like that. You know, it's an opportunity for small clubs to have a little bit of attention lavished on them. Give them a little bit. It's part why the Vars and the trophy are such important competitions is to give these players really the opportunity of a lifetime. And that's kind of to be treated a little bit like royalty, to have the red carpet rolled out for them and to be treated special for a day. And it's fantastic. I hope for both teams, I hope that they really, really, the players really enjoy that day out and that experience. But obviously, you know, I really hope Whiteleaf win because it would just be amazing. And then if we could get some kind of favourable result about our promotion situation, that would be just as amazing. But Isthmian is where we want to be. The next one up, that's fine. Like, yeah, and I mean, far as well with Whiteleaf, I don't want them to go any further than where they are. But a Vars win, it's potentially transformative, isn't it, lad?
It is. It is transformative. And again, another great narrative for a club that we recorded a podcast about 4 years ago when they were created or when the old club went bust. And to be along with that journey from, well, starting from scratch to going to Wembley, it's a great arc. It's almost as great an arc as the one that's over Wembley itself, isn't it, Jan?
It is. I was just going to say, actually, going back even to the old Whiteleaf before it ceased to exist, but if you remember, well, you will remember this, guys, but for the listeners, the pitch was a grass pitch, but it was a muddy grass pitch, and it's in a kind of a valley, so it flooded all the time, and the football wasn't great, and it was so bad that we actually started gambling on how many times the ball would leave the ground, which we still do now, but the football is much better because the football rarely leaves the ground now, which is good, and they've got a lovely 3G pitch. We've come from playing on quite literally on a pig farm to going through, you know, all of that to now being at Wembley, which is going to be great. It's quite a journey. And as well as that, you know, I've got to do it with my friends every other week and also with my son, who's been going as long as I have. And he's not yet 18. So I get to go to Wembley with him, having taken up to his first game, you know, when he was about 3 or 4 years old. So it's, it's quite a proud dad moment as well.
Mm. One slight thing about it is I really was hoping that Whiteleaf would win something before Harry Kane did. But I guess I can't have everything, can I? But well done, Harry Kane, for winning something. Terry, that's all anyone is talking about, I suppose, in Germany. That's all they're talking about is the fact that Harry Kane's won something, aren't they?
Yeah, yeah. The kicker app notifications came up and it's sort of like Harry Kane gewinnen, you know. And it's been all about that hashtag Harry Kane gewinnen. Not so much about Bayern, really more about Harry Kane's Bayern Munich, as it's known in Germany. Yeah, absolutely. Harry Kane finally wins his first trophy and all he had to do was move to another country and play for a club that always wins trophies.
The irony is, of course, is that Tottenham are really well placed to win something this year, aren't they? They could actually do it.
It would have been great, wouldn't it? Yeah, if Bayern had actually lost out and then Tottenham won the Europa League. But that's not what happened, though.
Surely we should all get some kind of emergency protocol in place for if Tottenham do actually win the Europa League. Because it's actually quite serious now. It could really happen. There is a realistic possibility that Tottenham could win something. We've got no guidance on this, have we?
No. I mean, I think we should be demanding that the Prime Minister holds a Cobra meeting because it's unprecedented. I mean, what is going to happen? We're talking about civil disorder here. You know, society is crumbling around us if Spurs were able to do the unthinkable. Yeah, I don't know what would feel like a successful Spurs side in my lifetime.
Yeah,
I never thought I'd live to see that.
Lads. They're going to lose 4-0 at Bodø/Glimt. Relax, okay?
Oh, come on, Terry. Not even Spurs could do that, could they?
All right, fine. You're right. 5-1.
Oh, dear. And then we will get our dream Man United Bodø/Glimt final like we predicted, didn't we, a few weeks ago. Yeah, it is going to be mad. But hey, the excitement is all in the Europa League, isn't it?
Well, it is now. Now, as far as you're concerned. Because you've probably given up on Arsenal beating PSG. But, you know, I mean, that's...
stranger things have happened. Stranger things have happened.
Certainly. Not strange.
I didn't think that Arsenal played that badly. I mean, I was watching TNT's coverage. They were saying that PSG were by far the better team. I wasn't too sure about that. It was Arsenal couldn't finish. That was the only thing between them. Yeah, unlucky not to get an equaliser. But yeah, who knows what will happen in Paris this week. I'm not going to talk too much about it because this podcast is going to be coming out about 24 hours before that. So it'll be old news by the time the listeners listen to us. But what about next year's Champions League? Because we've got a fifth place going into the Champions League next season. Five English clubs, a quarter of the Premier League, will be playing in the Champions League. It could be six. Could actually be six clubs. Man United or Tottenham could easily be playing in the Champions League next season, making a travesty of the whole thing. Teams that could be placed in the two positions above the relegation zone could be playing, one of them could be playing in the Champions League, and actually is quite likely to, the way that the semi-finals are set at the moment. But the extra place is going to go to the team in fifth. All pretty straightforward. That's what the rules are. That's how it's been set out. But, Terry, I think there is an argument that if Palace win the FA Cup, they should be the one to get the fifth Champions League spot. Now, with your level head, what do you think of that opinion?
I think the listeners would benefit from you showing your work on that particular opinion. but let me just say that I agree with you. I think there's long been an argument that actually a Champions League spot should go to the FA Cup winner, because it would help if people are serious about keeping the FA Cup relevant and ensuring some primacy of that tournament, then you award with it not just the glory of winning the FA Cup, but also a nice juicy Champions League spot. So there's long been an argument, I think, for that. And certainly when you think about it in terms of an additional place, the coefficient delivering, you know, a fifth place, then, yeah, I think that there's some poetry in awarding that to the FA Cup winner. And in fact, I'll go one further. If Man City finished fifth and then for some reason inexplicably still managed to win the FA Cup despite the huge narrative forces working against them, I don't know, Kevin De Bruyne gets injured, for example, then the loser of the cup should then get that spot as well, which of course will be Crystal Palace. So I think that that works quite nicely. I feel that's a balanced analysis to your proposition.
Yeah, I don't think that is. But I like that idea that you think that is the way that it should work. And a lot of people have said that before, that why don't we give the FA Cup winner one of the Champions League places? I didn't like that opinion every year that Arsenal were finishing fourth, but I'm happy enough to discuss it this time around. The one reason why I'm saying it, though, this time is not because I think that the FA Cup should be valued more, but it's actually UEFA's own valuation of cup winners, because England has two places in the Europa League. It has the cup winner and it has the team that finishes fifth. That's how generally it works anyway. Both of those go into the group phase, the league phase of the Europa League. So there's no real difference in value between finishing fifth and winning the FA Cup. They are of equal value. But in other leagues, that's not the case. In other leagues, like the Dutch league, for instance, the team finishing third has to qualify to get to the league phase, whereas the cup winner goes straight into the league phase. Same with Scotland as well. So, for instance, this year in the Dutch league, this season, the Beker, the KNVB Cup, was won by Go Ahead Eagles. Now, they're currently fifth in the league, but they've qualified for the league phase of the Europa League. Utrecht are third, and from there, they'll go into the second qualifying round of the Europa League. So they start at a lower area. But if the Dutch league had won the extra Champions League space, it would be Utrecht that would be going on into the Champions League and not Go Ahead Eagles. So why is UEFA's rules going against what UEFA have set out before? Does that make sense, Jan?
It does. Can I ask you, who decides that fifth place in England gets a Champions League spot?
That's UEFA's rules. All it says is that these extra slots, these European performance ones, they go into the league. So it's all done after all the jiggery-pokery is done around with all the cup winners and everything like that. So it's just an extra place in the league. Everything drops down one So if you were one below, say, the Conference League qualification spot, suddenly you become one as well. So it all goes down there, benefits loads of teams.
All right, so it's no one on this little island gets to make the decision.
No,
on whether
not.
It goes. Okay, well, that's a bit of a shame. You think they would they'd pass that to the associations, wouldn't you, and say, well, it's up to you what you... I mean, you get four spots, yeah, and they've got to be the top four, but you've got this extra one. You can do it with it how you please. I think that would be better. I mean, I don't know whether... might be being a bit conspiratorial here, which is unlike me, as you both know. but I wonder why they wouldn't give it to the FA Cup. Is it because it can be a bit of a lottery, and there's a chance that a Palace... No disrespect, Terry. I think it's great that Palace are there, and I definitely want them to win. But, I mean, Leicester won it a few years ago. And when Leicester won the league, people were losing their minds that they were in the Champions League. So, you know, maybe it's because of that. I don't know.
It's because of that.
Yeah, you could end up with a team that's 12th in the table getting in there. As it is, you're going to end up with a team that's 17th in the table going into the Champions League next season. Terry, did my argument sound a bit more measured than yours?
No, it does. It does sound a bit more measured. Yeah, it does sound a much more sensible approach to things. And yeah, and I think that it would be consistent with UEFA's position on cup winners. And I think it's also fitting as well. But I mean, I think realistically, the reason why there are the additional Champions League spots is specifically for the top four leagues, the Premier League, the Serie A, La Liga, and the Bundesliga, to be able to get in an extra league side, one of the other big clubs in there, particularly the Premier League, which has a surfeit at the moment of very, very, very popular, internationally popular football clubs, some of whom are actually still quite good. And there aren't enough Champions League slots for all of them. So UEFA would want to see City, they want to see United, they want to see Liverpool in there, they want to see Arsenal, they want to see Chelsea. Believe it or not, they want to see Tottenham. There's a scenario where they would want to see Everton in there. These are big clubs with international followings. They bring eyeballs, they attract sponsors. They want to see them in their competitions, and so they will do whatever they can. Villa, another good example. They would be happy to see those teams in there. And so that's, I think, is the thinking behind the awarding the additional places, not some, you know, South London team or indeed any sort of like middle class team accidentally winning the FA Cup and then suddenly finding themselves in the Champions League. Because then you will get sponsors and broadcasters saying, well, who are these guys? Mm. No, none of my viewers want to watch that. None of my sponsors are interested in this team. It happened when Leicester won the league, and it would happen if a middle class team was to find themselves in the Champions League. There is an argument to say that we wouldn't know what to do with the Champions League, but I believe that that's an incorrect argument. I would know exactly what to do if we were in the Champions League.
And now, in the days of the Swiss model as well, I think it's perhaps a bit more welcoming to new teams as well. Yeah, if you're a brand new team to Europe, it's always going to be a lot harder in the group phase model. But I think now with the Swiss model, I think new teams coming in will perhaps have a little bit more of a bit of a leg up to actually start. And of course, you have to be pretty awful. You have to be like really bad, like Leipzig, to actually like mess it up, don't you? Be interested to see how it goes next season as well, the Swiss model. I really enjoyed it this year. But of course, with the Champions League having so many English clubs in it, it's going to be a bit yawny, but never mind. Well, that's all next season, though. But what will we be watching on our televisions this weekend, I wonder? Well, hopefully, on Sunday lunchtime, you'll all be glued if we get a carrier. But I think it's going to be on TNT. Hopefully, Sunday lunchtime, you can all sit down and watch the mighty AFC Whiteleaf playing Whitstable Town live from Wembley. Yeah, it's going to be our 302nd weekend box set. And I don't think I ever envisaged when we started doing this back in 2016, I think, wasn't it, Terry, that we'd ever be doing a preview for Whiteleaf. But hey, here we are. I think we'll all have to collaborate on that one, I think. It might be the whole of this weekend's box set is just basically one big preview of Whiteleaf against Whitstable. So forgive us if it is, but we may have one line each on the other six games that we think you should be watching from Friday to Sunday. Do you think that's fair, Terry?
Yeah, that's absolutely fair. The other option is just that none of us write it and we ask Gary to do it.
Ah, that's a good idea. he's been along to White Leaf. He's been along to the old White Leaf, hasn't he? So that's,
Yeah.
Otherwise, it'll just be us gibbering on about going to Wembley and wondering how he can stick a flare up our arse. Jan is just breaking out his green flares now. Oh, God, please, no.
You have to check the flare colours these days, though, don't you? You have to make sure that, those crafty boys up in Liverpool, they're very enterprising in changing the red flares for blue flares. So I don't know if Whitstable might be infiltrating the local flare market.
Oh, dear, yes.
You know what they're like, don't you?
Yeah.
It's all the heavy metal in the oysters.
All the Peter Cushing influences down there as well. You know, all I think about is horror, isn't it? Cheesy 60s British horror, isn't it, Terry?
It's old Charles Hawtrey country. So do your research on that one, listeners, and open yourself up to a whole world, a chasm of awfulness. There's a book called, if you want to learn a little bit more about Kent, because as a Sussex resident, I have views on Kent. There's a book called All the Devils Are Here. Look that one up. That's Kent uncovered. my wife is born and bred Sussex, and so has a specific, she's coming along as well. And I'm not sure she's coming along to support Whiteleaf, more really to just boo Whitstable, but we'll see.
Is that why she's financed that huge TIFO for Whiteleaf that we're going to unfurl on Sunday and find out what it says on it?
I think we might be in trouble when we, because I don't think that TIFO is going to say anything nice.
Well, if you do want to see what we put in our box set this weekend, it's going to be a lot about the playoffs, but mainly about the FA Vars final. But get along to sofpodcast.com, click on the link for the weekend box set, and subscribe. There's a little box there that takes you, or the link that will take you to our Substack, add your email, and then you'll receive our 7 previews of what we think you should be watching from Friday to Sunday for the next week or so, because then it's the season break. And then it will start again in August, and you think, why the hell am I receiving this? Stick with it, because it'll tell you everything you need to know about the weekend's football. But that is all we have time for this week. By the time we come back again next week, we'll be giddy from our day at Wembley. But for now, for me, Graham Sibley, from Jan Bilton, and from Terry DeFellin, it's goodbye.
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 Get in touch with us on Blue Sky or Instagram, where we are at Sound of Football. Or go to sofpodcast.com. Like us, share us, rate us and review us. Do it now! Come on, you leaf!
Leaf! Leaf, 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 le